morning. Happy Monday. I'm pleased to be here this morning representing my colleagues Bonnie Henderson and Lisa Henriksen, and I'm going to talk to you a bit about alcohol consumption and ad recognition among an ethnically, racially diverse middle school student population. Word is that there's a very long delay between slides.
I just clicked the button.
Okay, I did. Okay, in the literature, alcopops go by many different terms, such as malternatives, flavored alcoholic beverages, flavored malt beverages, ready-to-drinks, low-alcohol refresher, and designer drinks, and the definitions tend to vary slightly. In general, the alcohol content of this type of drink varies between 4.7% and 9%, and we define these drinks as sweet and fruity fermented malt-based beverages that have a similar alcohol content to beer. And despite the title of my talk, we actually use the term flavored alcoholic beverages, or FABs, and that's how I'll be referring to them for the rest of this morning. Monitoring the Future survey also uses the term flavored alcoholic beverages, and over the past 3 years, use has remained fairly consistent among females and males. Females are at about 15% and males are around 11%. And this is use in the past 30 days by 8th graders. For ethnicity, 2005-2006 data was combined to account for small sample sizes. And as you can see, Hispanics had a slightly higher prevalence of use over the past 30 days. And according to this data, overall use for 8th graders is about 13% of students reported drinking flavored alcoholic beverages in the past 30 days. And we think this is cause for concern. According to the literature, flavored alcoholic beverages are a gateway drink. They taste better, they're easier to drink than other alcoholic beverages, and research suggests that this leads to earlier initiation of alcohol use and subsequent intoxication. FAB use among adolescents has been associated with an increase in risk-taking behavior such as binge drinking, drunk driving, sexual activity. And adolescents seem to be the targets of flashy advertising for FABs. The alcohol industry is trying to take advantage of this population of potential new drinkers. One way to measure the effect of advertising is to look at brand recognition. This isn't the first study to correlate brand recognition with substance use. Several cross-sectional studies show that adolescent drinkers recognize more beer brands than non-drinkers, and evidence about the role of brand recognition in the uptake of drinking is accumulating. For example, in a school-based study different from the one I'm presenting today, our group found that for each alcohol brand adolescents recalled at baseline, odds of being a current drinker were 20% higher at follow-up 12 months later. So given what we know about other forms of alcohol, we thought it was useful to examine adolescents' recognition of FAB brands and its association with drinking. So the data I'm presenting today is part of a larger study called the Survey of Teen Opinions About Retail Environments, or the STORE study. It's a school-based survey of 6th through 8th graders conducted in Vallejo, California. And we're surveying in Vallejo because it's an ethnically diverse community, and the proportion of non-Hispanic white is only about 12%. This study assesses advertising and its effects of tobacco and alcohol use, but we also asked questions to measure FAB recognition and use. Sometimes it's quick and sometimes it's slow. We asked students how many days in the past 30 they had most or all of a flavored alcoholic beverage. And because the distribution was skewed, we compared those who drank an FAB in the past month with those who didn't. To measure brand recognition, students were shown these three pictures, of FAB ads with the brand name removed. They were instructed to check a box to answer if they'd seen yet or not. And then they answered the question, what brand does it advertise? And they filled in a brand name on a blank line. They complied with explicit instructions not to say their answers out loud and also not to worry about spelling. And they didn't worry about spelling. Coding answers to open-ended questions about brand names that most adults can't spell is not for the faint of heart. We went by two rules. One, they had to be spelled phonetically. If they were spelled phonetically, we accepted it. Or if there was one syllable correct, we accepted it. In those rules, we ended up with 63 accepted spellings of Smirnoff Ice. And we did not accept ice alone. It had to be part of a smeared. And then same with Mike's Hard Lemonade. We did not accept lemonade as a standalone answer. Brand recognition was computed by summing the number of correct identifications with a minimum of three and a minimum of zero and a maximum of three. A logistic regression estimated odds of drinking flavored alcoholic beverages for each additional recognized brand name, and we adjusted for these items. Risk-taking is a three-item measure common in adolescent substance use literature, and music video and TV viewing are also common risk factors. Unfortunately, our response rate was very low, with only about half of the middle school students actually completing a survey. So that gave us a sample of 1648. Over half were female. And as promised, we had a racially, ethnically diverse population, with 26% Asian Pacific Islander, 25% Hispanic, 17% African American, 25% multi-ethnic, and only a very small group of non-Hispanic whites of 6%. And 33% of our sample reported that at least one of their friends drank alcohol. Students were most successful at recognizing Smirnoff Ice, which isn't a surprise, as it is the leading brand in the United States, and in 2002, it accounted for one in four FABs that were purchased. Also unsurprising is that recognition increases by grade level. Percent of our students recognized at least one brand, and given that our sample is 6th through 8th graders, that's actually quite a lot. And FABs in the past 30 days increased by grade. If you'll remember, I said earlier that only 13% of the Monitoring the Future 8th graders reported FABs in the past 30 days, and that's compared to 26% of our 8th graders. The question on the Monitoring the Future survey asks about FAB use in the past 30 days by giving specific examples to students, and we didn't do that when we asked our question because we asked the brand recognition question that was open-ended, and we didn't want to give them any input to be able to fill in those answers. This difference in question format may partially account for the large difference in 8th grade FAB use. However, our sample was much more ethnically diverse than the Monitoring the Future sample. It was 69% non-Hispanic white. The odds of drinking FABs in the past month were 28% higher for each brand students recognized. That statistic is from a multivariate model that adjusted for gender, age, race, ethnicity, risk-taking propensity, peer use, and hours of viewing music videos and TV late-night talk shows. There's research out there that suggests that females drink FABs more often than males, so we compared the prevalence over gender, but we had no significant. And we also looked at the prevalence of drinking FABs by race, ethnicity. And in the multivariate model, we compared each ethnic group with Hispanics, who are the largest subgroup in our sample and also in the California student population. and we observed no difference here, and the only significant comparison is between mono and multi-ethnic youths who reported the highest prevalence of drinking FABs. And our multi-ethnic group was 25% of our population, and it's made up of combinations of these subgroups: African American, Hispanic, Asian Pacific Islander, and white. And if anyone has any suggestions as to why multi-ethnic might be significantly different from mono-ethnic, I would love to hear your input. As is true for other forms of alcohol, advertising appears to be an important risk factor in adolescent consumption of FABs. However, longitudinal data are needed to test whether brand recognition at baseline predicts drinking at follow-up. Also, our response rate was extremely low. In fact, it's the lowest we've observed in the years that our group has been doing school-based surveys. A protocol that yielded 78% in other survey communities was not nearly as effective in this community. And it wasn't that kids were returning permission slips that said no, it was just that they weren't returning them at all. And also, our results are limited to a single community. As far as what to do, given gender differences found in other studies, interventions like this one by the Center for Science and Public Interest targets people's fears about weight gain and focus on the high-calorie nature of FABs. Another strategy would be to create media literacy campaigns that encourage adolescents to be more critical of advertising, and that's worked with many other things, tobacco, alcohol. But in order to do this, we need to know more about what the alcohol industry spends on advertising. Our group's focus is generally on cigarette advertising, and the Federal Trade Commission releases a report yearly, and yearly for the last many, many, many years on ad expenditure reports for the tobacco industry. And as far as we know, there have only been about two of these reports in the last 10 years for the alcohol industry. Research on FABs could be approached in a similar way as they approach research for tobacco in terms of gender and ethnicity targeting of cigarettes, by looking at quality and quantity of advertising in neighborhoods, how they differ, billboards, bus stops, and the retail environment. As far as other media, there are virtually no controls on television or internet that we know of. I was here last year with similar research on cigarette brand recognition, and similarly, it seems like brand recognition is a strong risk factor for alcohol use, flavored alcoholic beverage use, and we would love to see more research on FABs in order to help protect our kids. Thank you very much. Are there any questions?